It's time for Talking Animals. I'm Duncan Strauss, and I'm really delighted to bring you another edition of Talking Animals, in which we'll be speaking with Stacy Thomas and Sue Rowenbeck, founders of an organization called Halo. First, though, as always, we're kicking off the show with an animal tune. This is David Grisman with a piece called Dog Bull here on Talking Animals. This is David Grisman with a piece called Dog Bull, an animal tune of sorts as we ease into today's edition of Talking Animals. My name's Duncan Strauss, not live, but on Memorex today, but I am here with our program that is devoted to all subjects in the animal kingdom. In just a few moments, we'll be speaking with or hearing from today's guests, Stacy Thomas and Sue Rowenbeck. We'll find out more about Halo, what's happened thus far, and their vision of the long-term picture when we speak with Stacy Thomas and Sue Rowenbeck in a few moments here on Talking Animals. First, though, as always, we try to work in a little animal news item or announcement. So I'll let you know that Wheaton Island Preserve and Cultural Center has a full calendar of events each month. Check out Saturday guided hikes, Sunday strolls, evening walks, and canoe trips. There is also a photography club that meets every first Sunday, and very young children can enjoy Wee Time on Thursdays. Other events, workshops, and exhibits are always going on, so give the Preserve a call at 727-453-6800. Wheaton Island is located at 1800 Wheaton Island Drive, northeast in St. Petersburg. You can also check out the calendar at WheatonIslandPreserve.org. All right, now let's step into the Talking Animals Comedy Corner, which involves animal-oriented comedy. This is Mitch Hedberg with a piece called Koalas on today's Comedy Corner.
My apartment is infested with koala bears. It's the cutest infestation ever. Way better than cockroaches. When I turn on the light, a bunch of koala bears scatter. I don't want them to, you know? I'm like, hey, hold on, fellas. Let me hold one of you.
All right, that was the late, great Mitch Hedberg with a piece called Koalas from his album, Strategic Grill Locations. I'm Duncan Strauss. This is Talking Animals. Our website is talkinganimals.net, where we make available all sorts of information and content about Talking Animals and podcasts of past programs. We also have a link to the Talking Animals MySpace and our Facebook page. There's also a place to subscribe to our email newsletter so we can keep you posted on forthcoming guests, program news, and more. That's talkinganimals.net. It's nearly time to here are from today's guests, Stacy Thomas and Sue Rowenbeck. So let me outline a few things about them. As I noted earlier in the show, they're the founders of Healing Animals with Love organization, or HALO, a St. Petersburg-based nonprofit organization whose mission is to create an ongoing network of medical care providers, rescue and other services, and various resources equipped to respond to animal emergencies around the clock. Operating under the rubric, the Planet's Animal Ambulance, HALO has already accomplished some notable things in the year and a half or so since Stacy and Sue launched it, and they have some major ambitions for HALO down the road. Much to cover here, so in a conversation recorded last Wednesday, as was the rest of this atypically Memorex show, this is Stacy Thomas and Sue Rombeck on Talking Animals. Okay, let's welcome to Talking Animals, Stacy Thomas and Sue Rowenbeck. Thanks so much for joining us today at Talking Animals.
Thanks for having us.
And on the one hand, this we don't usually record our interviews, so that's unusual. But the good unusual part is we don't usually get to have our guests in studio, so I'm really, really delighted to have that happening today. So I think in this case about HALO, I think we really are best served by beginning at the beginning. Maybe you guys could sort of recount the incident that spurred the creation of HALO.
Sure.
18 months ago, approximately. It was New Year's Eve. It was a typical planned celebration with some friends of ours on our way to dinner. Sue and I were driving down a Pinellas County road that isn't very well lit, not even that often traveled. Unfortunately, the car in front of us hit a German Shepherd, moving at a pretty good rate of speed, but they never stopped. And we were, of course, shocked and traumatized by what we saw, pulled over immediately, and I believe both of us expected to see quite a gruesome scene when we ran back to assess the dog's injuries or to even see if he was still alive. To our surprise, he was still alive, but the first thing that I know I can speak for myself, I think I can speak for Sue as well. Once we realized he was alive, it was very apparent that he needed, obviously, some serious veterinary care.
Right away, too.
Yeah. Right away.
Yeah.
And it was, I think, an immediate question for both of us. Okay, who do we call at this point? Who can we call to come help this dog? And when both of us, you know, within a matter of what seemed like
an eternity.
Right. We realized we just needed to take matters into our own hands at that point. And we carefully loaded him into the back of our Mazda and rushed him to the nearest emergency clinic. But the one thing that evening never went away for either of us was the realization that there have got to be more people that have been in situations similar to that, where they were left wanting to help, but not having a resource to call upon that would provide the animal with the immediate care that it needed.
And I take it that as that night was unfolding, and as you guys were both sort of racking your brain, where can we take this dog? I take it also that you guys were, even then, animal people. So it wasn't like, hey, well, you know, we saw this horrific thing, but we don't have any background to draw on. It sounds like you did, and that was precisely the point. Like, as much as we are animal people, we don't know where to take this dog right now.
Exactly. And from a standpoint of, you know, it's easy to call 411 and find out where the nearest emergency clinic is. But if that had been an animal that perhaps maybe we wouldn't have been able to pick him up, or if he had been aggressive or couldn't move and it would have been an unsafe situation for us to pick him up, there was no resource for us to call to come to the animal's aid in a quick manner that they could provide the services that he needed.
Sure.
You know, what if this had been a senior citizen or someone with a disability that perhaps could not have picked up an animal,
mm-hmm.
but still wanted to provide some kind of help?
Right.
It really created a quandary of a multitude of questions that mm-hmm. arose very quickly.
And most of them didn't have good or satisfactory answers.
Correct.
Yeah. And so I guess sort of there began the seeds of Halo, I take it.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. And I guess probably not all that common for people to witness or even experience, you know, awful things happening to animals that we don't know and want to help at that moment. But it probably is more uncommon for such an event to serve as a catalyst for launching something like Halo. I mean, why do you think it affected you guys that way? Was there something either just going on then in that phase in your life? Was there something in one or both of your histories that might explain why you responded this way, like basically creating this organization?
I certainly want Sue to contribute to this answer as well. I think for me, the immediate reaction was, I'm not one to see something that needs to be done and hope someone else does something about it.
Mm-hmm.
It was something that was clearly a resource that's needed.
Right, a need. And it's like, hey, no one's going to fill it maybe if I don't.
Yeah, and it certainly wasn't an act of, well, great, no one else is doing this, I'm going to quit, grab it, and do it myself. It was, okay, there is a need here. I have put in a situation that affected me greatly. No animal should ever have to suffer. And then on the other side of that here, Sue and I were animal lovers that were put in a situation where we were absolutely willing to do whatever it took for this animal, but we needed a bit more of a resource to help us. And because that resource wasn't there, okay, it's time to create it.
Yeah. So can you then kind of outline the pivotal steps in I guess we sort of know the beginning of conceiving Halo, but there probably was more to it than that you've described so far, and then actually, you know, executing what started to become your vision. What can you walk us through? Just sort of just in broad strokes, the sort of beginnings of launching this.
Well, I think this has taken on a life of its own way faster than we ever anticipated.
How so? I mean, what... just the minute you started moving forward, it just
absolutely
accelerated.
I mean, this thing snowballed, and all of a sudden there were people that were questioning and wanting to help however they could. And Stace is not one to stand by and say, well, someone should do something.
I am that someone.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. She is a person of action. She says something and she follows through. She is every bit of her word.
Well, since the inception of Halo, it's been, like Sue said, it's definitely taken on a life of its own. And in that aspect, once we did realize that we had stumbled upon our purpose, dare I say such a statement, but I believe that's very true, the pouring out of support by people that had heard what we intended to do was overwhelming. I had sent an email out to close friends and family when this first happened. 3 days after the event, I just couldn't let it go. So I sent out an email to close friends, and within a matter of 7 days, those close friends and family had forwarded that to friends of theirs, and we were all of a sudden getting emails back from people in California, Maine, Connecticut, Virginia, you name it. I got emails from people I had never met before, had no idea who I was, but the support was there. We need this in our community. How quickly are you going to get this up and running?
Welcome to the positive side of viral marketing and that whole world. Yeah. So, okay, well, that sounds like a real sort of pleasant surprise as you move forward. I mean, were there also some bigger obstacles, both, you know, expected and probably unexpected?
Sure. Yes, we're animal people, but we certainly did not have any sort of, for lack of a better word, experience in the industry of running an ambulance or, you know, beginning a movement that we intend to take nationwide. This is a learning experience as we go. So when you don't know what you're doing, you call on people that do, and you seek out people that perhaps have more experience and draw on it from them. So we really reached out to a number of resources that we could kind of put the pieces of the puzzle together as far as how we needed to organize ourselves, other organizations that we could perhaps be a resource for as well. There's hundreds and hundreds of animal organizations that are doing such incredible things for animals, some even that are trying to do exactly what we're doing. But as any nonprofit can attest to, the need for funds is usually never met.
Mm-hmm.
The need for volunteers is, you know, a revolving door sometimes, and that's sure. To be understood. So we were surprised perhaps by some of the scrutiny, if you will. And I can understand that because here we are, two people with wonderful intentions and full of compassion,
mm-hmm.
but maybe not the experience that they would like to see follow through with this.
Sure.
So I could understand some of the perhaps raised eyebrows, but that certainly isn't a deterrent. If anything, it is definitely spurring us on to make sure we cross all of our T's and dot our I's. This is not something that's meant to be halfway run in a project. This is going to happen, and we will be a resource for them as well.
Right. Well, I want to come back to explore a bit more of that, but let me just let our listeners know this is Talking Animals. If you just tune in, this is a recorded conversation with Stacey Thomas and Sue Rowenbeck, founders of Healing Love with Animals Organization, or HALO. So let's talk a little bit more about that scrutiny alongside what organizations, veterinarians, perhaps others are involved at this point. In other words, who's on board so far?
Sure. We've had several conversations with two veterinarians, one in the Pinellas County area, and one as far as away as Port Charlotte that we've had dealings with that are extremely on board with our mission.
Your mission you would describe most succinctly is what?
We will be the 911 for animals. Right now, the gap that lies between large-scale disaster like something like Katrina and domestic animal emergencies, there's quite a crevasse there that, mm-hmm. that isn't filled. Most of those calls get sent to 911, and the animals are either waiting for, and the people are waiting for animal control, the fire department, or the police department as their resources allow them to respond. So we're aiming to fill in that gap where we will operate just like an EMT
mm-hmm.
or an EMS system for animals.
Okay. Cool. So, okay, so there's a couple of vets, it sounds like, one nearby, one maybe not as close, And other organizations or other folks that so far have said, yeah, you know, I like the sounds of this. I'm gonna throw my hat in the ring here too.
Yes, I certainly will not speak for them. No contracts have been signed, nor do I really anticipate necessarily a contract. But both of our organizations within Pinellas County, both Sheriff and St. Petersburg Fire Department, those that I've spoken to are very excited about our resource becoming available to them, because it does serve as a very large weight lifted off of their shoulders as far as being able to take a need that they are hit with every single day, and even animal control. Animal control, for example, receives over 900 calls a day, and their officers, because of budget cuts, has just been cut in half. So their response time is minimal as well. So the organizations that are in place as animal municipalities, if you will, that find themselves being requested for those kinds of calls are very eager for us to be available.
And I assume initially, at least, when you talked about kind of an EMT, an ambulance for animals, I assume there'd probably be one vehicle. I mean, if it was literally an ambulance, is that sort of the phase one kind of look to things? And then hopefully as funding and people and other things become available, there would be, you know, if not a fleet, more than one, perhaps. Is that...
That's correct as far as the synopsis would go. There will be a fleet because the current situation, what needs to happen is basically we need to, step one, create a core group of what we're terming animal first responders, which we're in the process of creating that curriculum right now. It's well and above first aid and CPR basics for animals. It could be as high as someone that perhaps already is a veterinary technician, or someone that perhaps isn't looking to go back to school for veterinary technology. That's why the veterinarians are so key for us to be on board, because they will be instrumental in actually creating this curriculum with us as well as delivering it. It's not something that we intend to put just people with good intentions on our ambulances to triage these animals, which is the big difference between transporting an animal that needs an injury treated. But we will actually provide vehicles that have trained personnel that can actually triage an animal. Mm-hmm. For example, if we were to go to a fire where the firemen have already started oxygen delivery, we can respond to that scene, take that animal, and continue that same care or advanced care from that point on.
En route to higher medical care.
Wow. Okay, so it sounds like in addition then to people that you've talked to and sort of brought on board, that you're also going to be, in a sense, generating people in-house that'll help expand the Halo world or network. So, because you made reference to the first responder curriculum, but also you guys are offering, I think, or plan to offer animal first aid and CPR classes?
Correct, yes.
So pretty much everybody that steps into the Halo world will presumably have at least that sort of training and then maybe move on depending on what they're comfortable with or how they see themselves participating?
That's correct. Absolutely. We intend to, whether or not someone wants to volunteer for us and become an animal first responder, that's completely up to them. But at the very least, we intend to offer as often as possible to people such as yourself, people like Sue and I, you know, before we even decided to perform this organization, a really solid core curriculum in animal first aid and CPR, even if it was something you only delivered to your own animal, God forbid you were faced with doing so. So our basic animal first aid and CPR course is completely open to the public. You don't have to be involved with our organization whatsoever. If then you choose to pursue being an animal first responder for us, that's where our multi-leveled curriculum comes in, where it's a very strict curriculum in which we would never ask someone to volunteer for us unless we were capable of providing the same care that we expect them to. So it would be above and beyond the basics, multi-levels, where you will have to be tested out by the veterinarians and then placed on our animal first responder list.
Almost sounds like a sort of a certification thing where, okay,
exactly.
You've got a certificate at this level. If you choose to get more involved, then you need to have additional training, get a certificate at the next level, and so on.
Exactly. We're actually, we've been speaking with CERT, Citizen Emergency Response Team. Right now, I'm scheduled to take their training for the Gulfport CERT team, actually next week, where anyone that decides to become a Halo first responder will also have to be CERT trained. And the reason for that is, as we've had these discussions with the fire departments and some of the members of the sheriff's department, it's very clear that some of the incidents that will be called upon will be incidents in which they will be running the show, whether it be fire department or...
Sure.
And our people need to be very versed in how to handle a scene so that they are an asset and not a hindrance to our personnel that serve the community.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed just naturally that there would be a number of situations that that HALO would be called upon to respond to where there's obviously other things going on, a fire, humans that are injured, a certain amount of panic, not on the, end of the responders, but I mean with the people involved, et cetera. So I would think that the more steeped in various kinds of training, obviously the better and more effective you'll be able to.
Even something as simple as a traffic accident, say there's a dog that's a passenger or a cat that's a passenger, even if they're not injured, if the people are injured or if that scene requires someone to come pick up the animals,
sure,
we'd have to be able to know how to navigate that scene.
Sure. Well, in a conversation recorded last week, we are speaking with Stacy Thomas and Sue Rowenbeck, founders of Healing Love with Animals Organization, or HALO. I'm Duncan Strauss, and this is Talking Animals, and more information about these classes and other things about HALO can be found at their website, haloplanet.org. So we sort of just a moment ago generally sort of touched on those, but maybe you could give us some examples of medical emergencies and other crisis situations you anticipate HALO responding to or that you have already responded to even in your relatively short existence.
Sure. Most commonly, it's usually hit-by-car situations. We have responded to a couple of those, obviously. The founding incident for HALO was a dog being hit by a car. The most interesting situation that we've been in, where we were not active as the, dare I say, head rescue agency, we were there to assist, was a mother duck was walking across a Home Depot parking lot and all of her babies fell into a storm drain.
Oh, wow.
Which required the fire department to come out and, do some extrication, which was a really great learning experience for us.
But that was something you guys kind of were in the lead of, or at least participating in? And
We were participants. Mm-hmm. We certainly were not on the lead in that. Mm-hmm. Suncoast Seabird Sanctuary came out and really did a great job.
And I take it all the ducklings happily, okay.
Reunited with mom.
Splashing around as they should be. All
yes.
right. Cool.
And then there's various injuries that, some people perhaps don't think of them as being so common, but they are. Something as simple as choking. We've even heard of horrific stories of leash injuries, particularly not too many static leash injuries, but retractable leash injuries are a very quiet undergoing that takes place more than people realize. Last year alone,
quiet, you mean underreported, like not
correct.
It's not as in the public eye maybe as much as it should be.
Correct. Statistics that I've seen are as many as 17,000 injuries a year occur because of retractable leashes. Many of them being fatal for the animal, whether they be jumping out in front of a car or people being injured. There's been reports of people losing fingers, severe injuries to the legs or the hands, from burns from the leashes. Those would be, a common injury. But as far as what we would respond to, we definitely intend to be the number one resource for the fire departments and the sheriffs, whether that be burning buildings, whether it be car accidents, collapsed buildings. We're in the discussion phases right now with whether or not they would send us out for those, there's a cat in a tree phone call, because that does really take up a lot of the fire department's
time.
Yeah,
I would think once you're more and more established, I mean, you would be more and more welcomed by the fire department to not have to, as much
absolutely
as that's sort
tying
of the traditional.
Up that resource.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we're sort of nearing the end of our time here, believe it or not, already, Stacy and Sue, so I'm just going to quickly hit a couple other things in the hope that... we can get those answered. And is there any kind of either information on your website or somewhere else, a website perhaps, or somewhere else online that's a resource about the retractable leashes? Because that sounds like, again, a very important thing that a lot of people may not recognize, that just how sort of prevalent a problem that has become.
If you wanted to know more about the injuries, you could Google retractable leash injuries if you wanted some more of those statistics. But basically the number one way to overcome them is to prevent them, and that's not use them.
Right.
Stop using
right.
retractable leashes. Get some static leashes, and you'd rather prevent the injury than have to treat it.
Absolutely. Okay, so let me quickly ask a couple other quick things here. So a number of animal organizations have very organized, highly trained disaster response teams deployed for any number of situations, from puppy mill raids to the aftermath of hurricanes, Katrina, et cetera, flooding and other crises that might involve animals requiring emergency medical care. Do you see HALO as an alternative to those, a complement to those, backup troops, or sort of will it initially just be so kind of locally focused that those things aren't really concerns at the moment or issues at the moment?
I think that's a twofold answer. I believe that immediately we are a very locally focused group with the intention of expanding to each state. The second part of that question, I would say that in the future we would be a complement to those already in place organizations. We really tend to stay very true to our mission statement, which is to fill in the gaps for the everyday emergencies. The organizations that are already in place for those large-scale emergencies are so dialed in and so well-run. If they were to call upon us for some resources, absolutely, we would step on and do that. But we definitely intend to follow our mission statement and provide the care for those everyday emergencies that people might face with animals.
Cool. And then I think we are sort of really nearing the very end of our time here. But just quickly, I'd be curious to know, based on sort of the idea of assembling a network, which sounds like really is what HALO is doing and already done, but hopes to do more of, how have other organizations responded that you've approached or that have become aware of what your plans are? Are they supportive? Are they wary? Are they both? Are they like, some saying, hey, this is great, and some saying, hey, you're kind of invading our turf, we're a rescue this, or you might take our slice of the donation pie. I mean, you know, it's just got to be a little bit tricky, I would think, but I'd just be curious to know, just as we sort of finish up our time here, just how that's gone so far.
I think we have encountered the melting pot of responses. I would say the majority of them have been extremely supportive from other organizations. There have been those that have perhaps have viewed us as a threat, or maybe, as you've mentioned, maybe they consider us someone that could potentially take some of that donation money that perhaps would go to them. Either way, it doesn't take away from the need for what we're providing. And if that spurs another organization to step up and also offer these kind of services, more power to them.
Sure.
There can never be enough of us.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right. And again, I just imagine, even if there has been some of that, and I know enough about how organizations work and whatever, that I just would bet whatever I have on me that there has been some of that. But I think also that's kind of thing that could be mitigated and will be over time.
Sure.
As you guys get more and more established, as you have your ambulance out and about, as you have more and more responders. And then it'll be like, hey, okay, cool.
Sure.
I'm with these guys. Okay, I was a little worried at first, but I'm with these guys. Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, cool. Well, I am afraid now we are really at the end of our time. This is Stacy Thomas and Sue Rohnbeck from Healing Animals with Love Organization, or HALO. Their website is haloplanet.org. And they're also dubbed, and we didn't get a chance to talk about this, but I at least want to get this in, the Planet's Earth Ambulance, which I think is a cool phrase, right?
The Planet's Animal Ambulance.
Animal. Oh, yeah. Sorry. Okay, I got the phrase wrong after all that buildup. Sorry.
No worries.
All right. Well, thanks again for joining us on Talking Animals, and we'll look forward to getting a progress report from you guys a little further down the road, and good luck.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
All right. That was Stacy Thomas and Sue Rohnbeck one more time. And again, just since I managed to get the acronym flipped around at least once in that interview, it's Healing Animals with Love Organization, or HALO, and website again, haloplanet.org. I'm Duncan Strauss. You are listening to Talking Animals, where the show website is talkinganimals.net. It's time to proceed to Name That Animal Tune. There'll be a prize. Nellie McKay's terrific CD, Obligatory Villagers. But since this is a recorded edition of the show, rather than calling in your guests, the first person who emails in to talkinganimals@aol.com, that's the email address, talkinganimals@aol.com, and correctly identifies this animal tune, will win the CD. Be sure to include your mailing address so we can send you the CD if you're the lucky winner. It's Name That Animal Tune on Talking Animals. I think we've given some hint there, right there, haven't we? Okay, we have just about reached the end of today's edition of Talking Animals. The program airs twice a month, specifically the first and second Wednesday of each month. So we'll return next Wednesday, August 12th. I hope you'll join me then. I'm Duncan Strauss. Thanks very much for listening. Have a good week. Be kind to animals. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourself. We're closing out today's show, as always, with an animal tune. This is The Dead Weather with I Cut Like a Buffalo on WMNF Tampa. We'll catch you live next week. Take care.